Peter's second epistle was written shortly before his martyrdom, probably in AD 67 or 68. Like the first letter, it is addressed to Jewish Christians. Peter reminds his readers that God's divine power has given them a faith as precious as his, and with it everything they need to live godly lives. He has given us very great and precious promises, he writes, so that their faith would not be unproductive through spiritual blindness, nor would they lack assurance about their salvation. Peter was aware that he would not be able to help and encourage them much longer, because I know, he says, that I will soon put off this mortal body, as our Lord Jesus Christ plainly told me. He assures his readers that the apostles had not followed cleverly invented fables when they told them of the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, with James and John, had been eyewitnesses of the Lord's divine majesty when he had received honor and glory from God the Father on the sacred mountain. They had heard the voice that came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," and were able to confirm that the message of the Old Testament prophets had been fulfilled in Christ. Peter therefore urges his readers to pay great attention to the word of prophecy, as to a light that shines in a dark place, he says. Above all, you must remember that no prophecy of Scripture ever came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Believers, therefore, must be on their guard against error and unsound doctrine. Just as false prophets appeared in the past among the people, Peter writes, so there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who redeemed them. Many will follow their shameful ways, and because of what they do, the truth will be slandered. Peter tells his readers that in their greed for gain, these men will exploit inexperienced Christians with stories they have made up, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption and sin. But God, he says, will pay them back for the harm they have done. As the Lord did not spare fallen angels, or the ancient world in Noah's day when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, or the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah which were burnt to ashes, so will he punish these blaspheming and arrogant men, but he will save the righteous, as he did Noah and Lot. After speaking at length about the wickedness of these false teachers and their coming destruction, Peter again reminds his readers of the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and what the Lord had said through the apostles. First of all, he writes, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will appear, who will mock the coming of the Lord, saying, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our forefathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." Peter explains that these men deliberately forget that long ago the earth was formed by God's word out of water, and was destroyed by water, the water of the flood. But the heavens and earth that now exist are being preserved by the same word of God for destruction by fire, being kept for the day of judgment. In the meantime, God is patient. He is not slow in keeping his promise, as some think, but he is giving men time to repent. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, says Peter, and 1,000 years are like a day. When the day of the Lord comes, he says, it will come as a thief, taking the world by surprise. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth with everything in it will be burnt up. But in keeping with his promise, we look forward to new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Christians, therefore, must live godly lives as they wait eagerly for the day of God to come, making every effort to be found pure and blameless in God's sight, and being constantly on their guard lest their faith be shaken. Peter ends his letter by urging believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Next episode, the Epistle of Jude.